Hi, this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
You're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence.
I really want to like pour it from up here into my mouth.
No. But have you seen where like somebody holds it like this in their mouth?
And then what?
And then they lean back and the person behind, no, I'll show it to you.
No.
Listeners, you know what I'm talking about? It was like an Instagram, TikTok trend where like
I'm sure.
People would shit.
Whoa.
That people would just shit all over the place. They would sit in like a train on the floor and someone would hold the glass of wine in their mouth by the foot of the wine glass and then tip their head back to the other person.
Wow.
It was wild. But I do feel like these glasses are too big for them. And we shouldn't do that.
No, like just you have to be really committed. You really got to commit to the
bit. Oh, yeah, because I also, they would immediately laugh and it would go everywhere.
I have seen some of those funny ones, though, where it's like a line of people and then each person has a smaller box and they have to catch something like really unwieldy or gross or and then it just gets all over the person's face.
I appreciate it. Speaking of gross, Maggie, what did you just find in my bathroom?
I went into your bathroom just now and I was really interested to see if there was something still in there that you told me was in there.
That what I told you was in there had been in there for at least a month and a half.
It's not a turd.
It's not a turd. I'm not that disgusting. Bleh. Basically, like probably 2 months ago at this point, there was a house centipede crawling around my bathroom floor. And so I grabbed a thing of toilet bowl cleaner and I killed it in the corner.
Just smashed it with the toilet bowl cleaner.
And then I left it there because it was behind the door.
And you just didn't want to clean it.
I have not cleaned it. And I forgot about it. I also had like people over right before Christmas. Like a bunch of people over and didn't realize.
Didn't
that
clean that.
Again, it's behind the door.
So the lesson is, if you come to Ashley's house, it might look clean.
But there's dead centipedes everywhere.
It's just disgusting.
In my defense, I am a single person who... When I lived in Seattle...
It was just a dirt ball?
No, I don't close the door when I use the bathroom because I've lived by myself. And when I lived in Seattle, I had a sliding door that Ollie could open. So I never closed that door either. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to just going to the bathroom with the door open. Mm-hmm. And so with the door open, you cannot see the door.
You can't see what's behind the door.
So I forget. Oh, but I told Meg about this last week. So you'd think in that time I would be embarrassed enough to clean it up.
No,
it's and then I went to the bathroom right before she came over. I was like, well... There's no point in cleaning it up now.
Still gonna be there.
We'll see if it's still there.
Oh my gosh.
But that's still there and we're still here. Look at that.
We are. We're here to talk about animals.
I don't think there's... they face.
And what people are doing about it. I love when shows or movies or podcasts like incorporate the name of the Like, my favorite is in Arrested Development, like, I don't know, season 2 or 3. Uh-huh. One of the characters just says, like, you know, it's just like Arrested Development. And then the narrator's like, hey, that's the name of this show. Or I know you and I both listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Uh-huh.
And I have never Googled it, but I would love to hear it again because one time... Probably at this point 10 years ago, there was an episode with Mo Rocca, and he was trying to answer a question, and it was like something he must have saved for, it's one time use only, and he couldn't answer it, and he's like, wait, wait, don't tell me, and like the way he executed it was so perfect, and everybody in the audience cheered.
Oh, it's always such a good moment.
I don't know, it's just, especially if it's really clever, if the microphones picked that up. I just want to apologize on behalf of my dog.
Argos is over this conversation. He does not think it is nearly as cool because he probably doesn't watch television. He's listen to podcasts.
He's constantly like groaning like an old man who
the oldest
is trying to stand up after He sounds like Rip Van Winkle.
He sounds like the, was it, the trolls in The Hobbit that are like part, that are like turned into like stone.
Do they make that noise?
I don't know if they do, but that's what I picture, like stone trolls coming to life.
Like waking up after a long sleep.
Yeah, like they haven't moved in thousands of years.
Yeah, yeah, that's the noise my dog makes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm not going to get
this
it.
Animal.
Probably not going to get it.
I'm pretty excited about this animal. Ooh. Just because it's fun.
Okay.
It's fun. It was on, I have a running list of things that I want to do. And this one came up. So this is my clue. It's pretty simple. You may or may not get it. And if you don't, we'll move on. This animal is also known as the alien deer.
The alien deer. Well, unfortunately, the first thing that came to mind is that really creepy disease that deer get that make them go insane and then like run in circles until they die.
I'm not doing some kind of parasite or bacteria.
Great. Okay.
This is a mammal.
Okay. The alien deer. Alien deer. Well, is it an actual deer or is it an antelope?
It is an actual, it is a deer. It is the, what's the smallest species of deer?
Oh, is it the one
that's... it's one of the smallest. I don't think it is the actual smallest.
Is it one of the ones found, is it the one found on Key West?
It might be.
There are real, I think it's called the Key West deer or something.
No.
Okay.
I'll explain later why I said it might be.
Is it found in like South America?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
Yeah, I am doing the muntjac.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what muntjacs are?
I don't know, maybe.
So, like I said, they're known as the alien deer, but they're also known as barking deer.
Oh.
Barking deer is what I knew them as because the Syracuse Zoo had barking deer.
That sounds much more familiar.
And then also rib-faced deer, which I didn't know that one. But they are small deer of the genus Muntiacus. Muntiacus? Sure. And they're native to South Asia and Southeast Asia.
Okay.
Like I said, they are one of the smallest species of deer.
Okay.
And they're also one the most primitive of antlered deer. So they're old, evolutionarily speaking.
Interesting.
Now, I'm talking about muntjacs, but there are actually, is when I was doing research, it would be like muntjac, but there's actually 12 species of muntjac.
Okay.
So there's...
How do you spell what you're saying?
Muntjac.
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 Okay,
muntjac. Cool. Or barking deer. So like I said, there's actually 12 species.
It's not a bark.
So there's Bornean yellow, hairy fronted, Fayas, Guangshan, Malabar red, Sumatran, Southern red, Leaf, Puhout, Reeves, Roosevelt's, Truong San, Northern red, and Giant. I've probably missaid some of those. I was going fast. But the one I'm primarily talking about, mainly because, like I said, usually muntjac just comes up and it's like, muntjac. Most of this information is about the Reeves muntjac.
Okay.
And that's because it is an invasive species in the UK.
Was it named after Keanu Reeves?
I doubt it. I wish, but I don't think so. But they're all pretty, there's not huge sweeping differences.
Okay.
So when I'm talking about muntjacs, you can probably apply a lot of this to a good number
generally
of them.
Okay.
But Reeves is where the bulk of the information comes from, just because that was just, again, a lot of the information was like, they live in the UK, but they weren't from there, but here's some information about them.
Probably because, wild. I'm already betting, you said that they're in Southeast Asia,
yeah,
right? Like, it's hard, jungle is a much denser
habitat
than the UK landscape.
Yeah.
So they're probably easier to study there, which is why we would know more.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. And they're also, like I said, they're small, I'll get into it, but they also live in forests and shrubs. So they don't want to be seen.
Right.
And also when, you know, this random tiny deer gets introduced to your country that doesn't have sweeping grand forests like Southeast Asia does, you're going to have some questions.
Yeah.
So first, elephant in the room, muntjac in the room. Why are they in the UK?
Right.
They were first introduced to the UK in the early 19th century. The then Duke of Bedford brought some to Woburn Abbey, in Bedfordshire. My God. Whatever. In 1901, he brought some over because he was like, I want to have some of these deer on my property. And then they got released into the surrounding woods. Cool. A few more probably escaped from the nearby Whipsnade Zoo, and over the time, most likely there were deliberate releases and also escapees from private collections that people had on their land. And now, as of 2008, there...
It's not really now.
Sorry, close enough. But also I wrote, in 2008, there was an estimated population of 2008. That is incorrect. Well, the number is much, much larger.
Okay. I do want to just quickly point out that this is such a stereotypical UK problem.
Oh, this happened with beavers.
A bunch of rich white people who previously had an empire spanning the whole globe were like, you know what? I would like to take this home with me.
Yeah. I want
as a souvenir.
I want to have this on my land.
You Brits.
And they get released. They're like, this is mine. Not really, but it's mine now.
Yeah.
So I said in 2008 there was a population of 2008. Wrong. 2008, there was a population of 104,000.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a lot more. So they're all over the place.
Okay.
In the UK. They're also in Ireland, and they were released on the Japanese archipelago. Oh. Again, places that they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But luckily they're not like... they're not super devastating compared to some other invasive species. So, like I said, they're small. So they're not the smallest deer, but they are one of the smallest. So how small are they? Shoulder height, 17 to 21 inches. They're about 22 to 38 pounds. And yes, I checked. They are approximately Ollie sized.
Okay.
So if you've ever seen a picture of my dog.
Ollie, come here!
Ollie is about the size of a muntjac.
This is the second time we've wanted him to be used
As a prop.
As a prop.
And he's not into it.
Not into it.
He's not into it.
Also, when you said shoulder size.
Shoulder height.
Shoulder height. I was like, they're at my shoulder height? Oh my God, Ollie. What's wrong with you?
He's like, I was sleeping.
Oh, your breath, buddy.
You got stinky breath. I still love you. I still love you.
Behold, the muntjac.
They're also... Also, they're also kind of like a russet brown. Always a little bit redder, I'd say, but he's about the color of a muntjac. If you're watching the video, Ollie.
Why is his tail completely tucked
under? He's like, why did you pick me up, Mom? Because you're the size of a muntjac.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, you got big old eyeballs like him too. He does look like a scared deer sometimes.
Yeah, so. He really, Ollie.
It's okay. My dog loves me, I swear to God. But yeah, so think of a small dog-sized deer. And that's a muntjac. Thank you, Ollie, for unwillingly participating.
You can leave now if you really want.
I know. But now he likes these pets.
Right. Maybe I'll stay.
So they have kind of a hunched appearance where their rumps are higher than their shoulders. I'd like to say not like Ollie. I'd say Ollie is pretty linear.
Yeah.
Straight back. They also have tiny hooves. So the hooves are 2 centimeters wide by 3 to 4 centimeters long. Centimeters.
That's really, really...
Really little, which Ollie kind of has small paws. They're not that small.
Do you have small paws?
I guess so.
Well, hello.
So yeah, they're little guys. What else do they look like? I wrote.
What do they look like?
So most are some shade of brown. He's kind of brownish. He's brown. And then they become a dull gray in winter. They got big ol' eyeballs.
Bing!
Like I said, they're a deer. We know deers to have deers. We know deer to have large eyeballs. They also have fangs. Tusks. So the males and females both have long canine teeth. So we all have canines. I personally also have fangs. They're just much smaller. That protrude from their top jaw, but they are usually on the outside. So like you can see them. Have I told you before that on dating apps, I've had people...
Yes.
I've had men, their first comment to me is, I love your fangs. And I'm like, I don't love this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, is that supposed to make me really happy?
I also like my fangs, but I don't think that's the first thing people are like,
if that's what you're inclined to be your opening line about me, maybe pass.
I'm over it. Like, I'm over it.
Because I'm not going to be into it.
They got teeth. These teeth are not used for, like, defense. They're just primarily used for display and territorial scuffles to be like, hey, look at me. I got teeth. Another thing about them is that males have short antlers, but the base of the antlers, like, a significant portion of it is covered with fur. And it just looks wild. Because it just looks like these, like, fur lumps and then, like, a little bit of antler.
I'm imagining, like, some real rudimentary, like, fawn or satyr.
Yeah. Where you're, like, it's just too much fur going up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I prefer more antler on my deer, I think. I guess. But also, these long fur-covered bases are apparently called pedicles.
Of course there's a name for it.
Right? Of course. Well, it's funny. The, like, base of a tail of, a beluga is called, like, the peduncle or something like that.
The base of a beluga's tail?
Yes.
Is called a peduncle.
Or something like that.
I feel like a peduncle is, almost sounds like a pediddle.
What's a pediddle?
A car with one headlight out.
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
Did anybody else play that game when you were in high school? Pediddle. And then you gotta smack the roof of the car. Otherwise, if you don't, somebody else can punch you.
All right, I got it. Peduncle. A stalk-like part by which an organ is attached to an animal's body or by which a barnacle or other sedentary animal is attached to a substrate. Peduncle. All right, anyway, back to muntjacs. I need to just quit out of this tab because it's the wrong one. So we've talked about what they look like, but what do they do? So they're actually omnivorous.
Ooh, cool, okay.
Why did I say it like that? Omnivorous. Omnivorous. I was like,
I thought it was normal because we all know how I do with the word herbivorous.
That's true. You do struggle. So they'll eat bamboo shoots, leaves, fungi, bark, nuts, fruits, and carrion.
Why am I not hearing you? Like,
what did you think I said?
First, like, with shoulder height and then omnivorous. Just now, bamboo shoots. I don't know why. I wish I
That's
could
a thing.
I know it certainly is, but I wish I could hit rewind and hear what I heard, because it was like bamboo shoots, as if like the bamboo is shooting.
Have you ever heard the panda walks into the bar?
Eats shoots and leaves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, but so these guys and ladies eat bamboo shoots, leaves, fungi, bark, nuts, fruits, and carrion, but will also hunt eggs of ground nesting birds. Well, I guess they don't hunt the eggs. They just eat the eggs.
but they approach an unsuspecting egg.
And somehow it doesn't get away. But they'll also eat small mammals.
What?
How? Blows. See? It is surprising. I just worded it poorly.
Also, hang on. I want to go back to when you were listing your eats, shoots, and leaves thing.
Yeah.
You ended it with carrion as if that itself wasn't just a mind-blowing, like, fact, because True. They're eating rotting
carcasses.
Meat.
Yeah. But they don't have to work for it right. as much, I guess. But they also don't have to work for eggs. Right. So, but yeah. It's a deer that
small
eats meat, which is wild.
Yeah.
With it's those, a small fanged mammal that
with
eats
those,
meat.
Fangs, that's crazy. What kind of small mammals?
It just said small mammals.
No, that's it?
Yeah.
We don't know?
We don't know. I'm guessing like
voles.
Mice, voles. And how do they hunt those small mammals?
Yeah.
Blows from the forelegs and biting. Just with its tiny little hooves. Here, I'll take that. They're just using their tiny little
gross.
Little pen legs. And taking down a vole. So you can find these guys and gals alone at dawn or dusk. What is dawn or dusk? When things are active, what does that mean? They are?
Precocial?
Nope, crepuscular. Precocial means they're well developed at birth. Argo's even new.
It was one of the two. I was like,
precocial. You were really confident. Honestly, that's the attitude we need to have in 2024. Just say it. Who cares if you're wrong?
Oh, that's not the attitude we have on 2024. Too
confidence.
Too many people have that attitude.
And they also, like I mentioned before, they primarily live in forests and shrubland. So they're hanging out alone in the woods. Can I help you, sir? Sorry, Argos is moving.
Really noisy.
All right, I mentioned barking deer. What does that mean?
Hark!
So it is just that. It is a distinctive barking call heard during mating or when they're provoked, scared. Kind of sounds like a small dog being stepped on. Yeah, would you like to hear it? Because
yeah.
I'm gonna pull up this video. Okay, well. That's gonna be the Vernon Borders app.
Please keep that.
What? Okay, well, that was an ad. That was not the barking deer.
Then you weren't doing a chameleon.
Could you imagine? Amazing. All right, this is it. Also, this is what it looks like.
Yeah. What a weird deer.
Right? Argus was like, excuse me? So it's just like, yeah, to me it sounds like a small dog being stepped on. But also, I'll show Maggie this again. This one isn't a Rees muntjac, it's a different species. But look at the antlers. Look how covered in fur they are.
I know, I see that.
And it's like such like a part of their head, it looks like.
You know, it like looks
even the
like
pattern follows up the fur.
It does, which is, it's cool looking. But it's why? Why?
Why?
And then it also, it looks like something that I don't like. What is it? It's not like.
I can't tell you. There's a lot of things Peggy doesn't like.
There's a lot. No, really, it does look like. Is it like fingernails that have grown too long?
Oh.
Or is it, it's something, I don't know.
Okay, so I also mentioned in the very beginning, how did I describe them in the clue? Out of this world.
Oh, it's an alien.
Alien.
Deer.
So why alien? So one of the more distinctive, or I'd say maybe most distinctive feature of muntjacs are the two sets of inflatable scent glands on their faces.
Wow.
So when they're not using them, they kind of just blend in. They're preorbital scent glands, so like right in front of their eyes. And then they also have they have a set on their forehead. So four total, two in front of their eyes, two
scent
on their forehead.
Glands.
And they look like basically really wide nostrils. Mm. So when they're actively using them, they actually can inflate them so wide that they can turn inside out.
What?
So that's where I first saw, I think it was like an Instagram video
sure.
of these guys. So they're, when they inflate them, they're just, I don't know how to describe it, but they look like giant nostrils where nostrils are not supposed to be. When you think of a nostril, because they also have a nose, but these are scent glands. They're not nostrils.
Are you showing me a picture of this or should I Google it?
You look like you're Googling it. I don't have one pulled up, so
okay.
Go for it.
Yeah, was it?
Look up a video of a muntjac scent glands.
Muntjac.
So they use them, they rub their faces and scent glands.
What?
Right? Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it?
Why are you
So we'll include
doing
a little clip
that?
On the YouTube video, but look it up. Look it up.
Why?
It's
are
kind
you
going to
tell
upsetting.
Us why?
There's not a why. They're scent glands. So they use scent glands like any other thing, anything else uses scent glands. They rub their faces on trees to convey information about sex, age, reproductive status, overall health, and social hierarchy. It's kind of their calling
card. I don't like
card.
It. I don't.
You know what's wild is they also have like regular scent glands on the back of their legs, like most other things. So I could not find evolutionary why they have these crazy scent glands on the front of their face.
Oh, I see.
But they do. They look. Don't they look like giant nostrils where nostrils are not supposed to be?
And then when they're not inflated, they also look like really weird skin flaps.
Yeah.
Have you yet pointed out that they have got Eugene Levy-like eyebrows?
Well, I don't think all of the owl species do.
Okay, just...
But I guess some do.
Apparently.
So they've got crazy faces.
Ew!
But I think, I mean...
Ew! Ew! Oh no, I just watched the actual
Wait,
video.
I want to see.
It was the viral TikTok video.
I'll see you again.
Fuck. I don't like it. So, all right, you know how, so I have this phobia, I think it is. I forget the name of it, but it's like fear of many holes.
Oh, it's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it, like, the Suriname toad is a prime yeah. example of, like, it makes me angry. It, like, I am filled with rage when I watch it.
Yeah.
And I just want to, like, scratch all those holes away. That's mm-hmm. how I feel watching this.
So conservation status. So there's 12 species, again, of muntjacs. At least half of them are decreasing in population,
Great.
But half of those, a different half, not necessarily the same half, are data deficient. So there's not a lot known necessarily. The hairy-fronted muntjac is listed as vulnerable, and the giant muntjac is critically endangered, primarily from deforestation and slash and burn agriculture.
Great.
And like I said, a lot of the others are least common, so even though they're decreasing, they're not, like, in danger.
Least common?
Sorry, least concern.
Okay.
Least concern. But a good amount of them are data deficient.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave you with this one fun fact. The Indian muntjac, or southern red muntjac, is the mammal with the lowest recorded chromosome number. The male has a diploid number of 7. The female only has 6 chromosomes.
How many is average?
We've got, like, what, 24 or something like that?
So they're real basic.
Real basic bitches?
Yeah.
You know. And that is the muntjac.
Wow. They really are old.
Muntjacs.
Wow. Very cool. So are you ready for a very, very cool animal?
Of course.
Great. Because I don't have one. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, real quick. Do I need to get more wine?
If you have any.
I do.
Before I give you your clue, I have to apologize. Because I did something a little different. Sometimes we do a genus, sometimes we do a species, sometimes we do, like...
a whole family?
Yeah.
Sometimes we do all kangaroos.
I'm right back.
It's a throwback for our longtime listeners, yeah, and for Maggie.
It's an inside joke. It is a species, but it's one that we know so little about. I really cannot tell you much. Instead, we do know one remarkable story about this species, and I've wanted to talk about it with anyone for a very long time. So, and like, I finally researched what this actual species was, found it, and that brought us to today. So, your hint, if you somehow know what rabbit hole I'm going down, and that's not a clue, it's that this creature that I've chosen is the planet's most dedicated mother, and I am talking the most dedicated. She wins. She wins for mother of the universe.
Pacific octopus.
Close.
Great Pacific octopus.
It is an octopus.
Ah!
So, I am doing this species of octopus that we know so little about, it doesn't even have a common name.
Oh, baby.
It only has a Latin name.
Oh, well, you can give it one.
It is the Granulodon boreopacifica.
What if I had gotten that? Would you have lost your mind?
Lost my fucking mind.
I was just like, oh, Granulodon.
Or if you had just been like, oh, was it that octopus that we heard, blah, 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 the story that I'm about to tell. So this octopus is a deep sea dwelling octopus.
Nice.
That's only about 3.5 inches long.
Oh, he's little.
Or like she's 9 little. Centimeters. And that doesn't include her legs.
Okay.
It eats gastropods, which sea snails and other limpids. So that's what we know. And it's because...
well, that's all we got.
Pretty much. Because she and her brethren and sisterin are...
relatives.
Her relatives. Her direct descendants. They're found at the ocean floor about 1 to 2,000 meters deep.
Mm.
So nobody is going down there much. No. But back in 2014, a research team with the Monterey Bay Research Institute, they were out doing other research and they happened upon this species. And that's the story I'm about to tell. But I want to give it kind of a lead up, a build up.
Yeah.
So most octopuses that live near the surface of the ocean live relatively short lives, like 1 to 2 years. I'm vastly generalizing here, but 1 to 2 years. And then another key thing to know about octopuses, which is the correct plural of octopus, not octopi, is that females will breed only once, because once they breed, they stay over their clutch of eggs.
They dedicate
their body to protecting their
eggs.
What's
it called?
I don't remember, actually.
There's something that, like, you basically just breed once and you die and your body is, like, the food. But there's a name for it.
This is called semelparity.
Wasn't that what I was looking
for? Its alternative is living to reproduce repeatedly, which is called iteroparity.
Oh.
So, as Ashley just pointed out, this is known as semelparity.
Maybe that is the word I'm looking for, but I feel...
Maybe not. Look it up. So, the females of octopuses will lay one clutch of eggs, and then they protect it until they hatch, and then they die, because they have spent, on average, 1 to 3 months doing nothing but protecting.
Yeah.
They don't eat. They don't do anything. So in the deep sea, where things are cold and dark, things tend to move slower. And we're generally aware of that, that, mm-hmm. you know, things move at a different pace down there. So generally speaking, the brooding is longer.
Oh, so they're hanging out over their eggs for a longer period of time?
Longer period of time.
Dang.
Now, like I just said...
Not eating the whole time? My worst nightmare.
So if... Most surface-dwelling species of octopus brood for 1 to 3 months, and things at the bottom of the ocean in the cold dark happen a much longer, over a longer time frame. What do you think is, like, much longer than 1 to 3 months?
A year.
Yeah, that's pretty long, but no.
This is going to be longer, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
3 years.
Close. So, in 2014, as I said, this team came across this mother Granulodon Boreo Pacifica octopus. Mm-hmm. We'll call her a GB.
A GB.
Because I'm not going to be able to say Granulodon Boreo Pacifica much longer.
Fair.
They were doing another research project, and they had been there a week prior. No mama octopus. They came back, and she was there, and she was over a clutch of like 400 eggs. They're like, whoa, this is pretty cool. We don't know this species. And how often do you get to watch a deep sea dwelling species of any kind, yeah. octopus or not, and its brooding cycle? So they decided to continue their own project, but every time they would be going down there, they'd check on her. Weeks turned into months, turned into years, not just 1 year. And she was always there over her clutch of eggs. And they knew it wasn't, like, somehow a new clutch of eggs, yeah. which would have also been valuable for science yeah. because we have always assumed octopuses will just like one clutch and done.
Yeah. One and done.
Right. But they could see the eggs were getting bigger, and deep sea octopuses or deep sea dwelling species in these eggs, they have to develop more, what is the term? You used this, I think, in the last episode, where, like, when something is born and it's, like, the loons are ready to swim after a couple...
Oh, precocial. The word you used earlier. Precocial is like they're born and ready to go. Like, think of it like a precocial kid is, like, really smart or, like, ahead of, like, what you would expect.
Ahead of the curve. Okay.
And yeah. altricial is when, like, human babies are altricial, where they cannot fend for themselves.
Right.
Lots of baby birds, like, in, like, think of, like, songbirds are altricial. They're, like, blind.
Need to be raised. Yeah.
Gross looking. If so, they're gross looking, they're altricial.
Ew. Babies.
So human babies. Yep. Except for my nephew. Just kidding. He looked 100% like a tiny gnome. I loved it.
Listen, I'm not a mom. I know a lot of moms. I have a mom.
Babies look like potatoes. They all do.
I don't think babies are cute.
No. They're not cute until they're like one. And then I think they're cute. You don't. We're different. Anyway.
So...
Takes a long time.
Takes a long time. And so they could see that this mother octopus was still over the same clutch of eggs because the eggs were getting bigger.
Yep.
And again, they're learning that at the ocean floor where it's colder, like when you're born, you have to be ready to go.
Yeah.
You have to be precocial.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to survive. So how long is it going to take her and this clutch of eggs to actually hatch?
Which is wild because, like, a lot of fish have like larval young that like I guess I don't actually know if they're technically altricial or precocial, because like the strategy of most fish is like lay a ton of eggs, lay 500, so maybe 6 will survive.
Sea turtles too. Yeah.
But didn't you just say though that they have 400 eggs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess I need to understand. I don't understand marine reproduction still, as much as I thought.
But they're still. I mean, I'm jumping ahead. But when they were born, they were still pretty small.
Oh, gotcha.
So like could be predated on, but like still, could function and could hunt still. Also.
Yeah. Kind developed, of like, but still small.
Kind of like when alligators hatch, like they can start hunting for insects right away. Frogs maybe, but like. They're still small and can be predated on by other things. So they keep going back after a year. She's still there. And one thing that scientists have noticed with a lot of other surface-dwelling octopuses is that, you know, the mom is not feeding. She is not moving. Yeah. She is over this clutch of eggs. They usually get pretty, like, they lose their color. Yeah. Octopuses are usually bright colors. Now, she's at the bottom of the ocean. There's really no need for her to be a color. She was, like, a grayish color, but they noted that she started just looking more haggard. Aww. She was turning white. Mm-hmm. So she's obviously starving, and a year has gone by. They offered her food one time and she refused it.
Nope.
Because at this point, 2 years have gone by. And they're like, oh my God, 2 years and she has not moved.
Yeah.
They also noted that she was fending off predators repeatedly. Predators being like crabs.
Yeah.
Probably similar to like the Yeti crab that we've done a couple episodes ago. She repeatedly like would skirt them away and they would come back and there would be just crunched, destroyed crabs. Ugh. She had the energy after 3 years to keep killing anything that would threaten her clutch of eggs. And like their research project ended and they just were like, well, maybe we should go back and check on her. 4 years go by. She is still there.
My God.
And they're like, there is just no way she's still here. They go back 53 months.
Damn.
And finally, that's 4.5 years, her eggs finally hatched. And they saw the many little octopuses. They no longer saw her. And so she likely finally died and was predated on.
Yeah.
And they saw many, many little octopuses skirting around, wandering around. So at minimum, at most, we have no idea, but this octopus, the Granelodon boreopacifica octopus, watches over her clutch of eggs for 4.5 years.
God damn.
Longer than any. And she fends off predators. She doesn't move a muscle.
She's not eating.
She doesn't eat.
For 4 years. I can't eat for 4 hours and I'm ravished.
Isn't that fucking phenomenal? That exists on our planet.
That's crazy.
I cannot believe. When I first heard this story, I was driving and I heard it on the radio and I just was in absolute awe and total respect of this animal that exists on our planet and we know nothing else about her. And she is what we know of the species. Yeah. That's it.
Damn.
Isn't that fantastic?
What a flagship species. Look at me. You don't know anything else other than I'm a fucking good mom.
I'm a badass.
Well, look at me. That's incredible.
Yeah. So like, it's also, to me, I really enjoy moments of reflection in which you think beyond your own self and you're like, somewhere on the planet right now, there is a mom octopus sitting on her clutch of eggs 2,000 meters below the surface. Mm-hmm. And she's probably been doing that for the last 3 years. And like, here I am. Looking for a date.
Drinking wine, talking about animals. Like,
yeah. So I love those kinds of moments where you put things into perspective. Yeah. Anyway, super cool. So that the Granelodon boreopacifica octopus.
GB. Beautiful.
Yes.
Well done. I like the individuality of the, like, we don't know a lot about the species, but we know a lot about this one individual.
Right, right. Like, she's opened the door for us to... that's also probably pretty
cool.
What if
she's an incredible actor? What if the whole thing...
was just a guise.
It was just a guise to trick the scientists.
Yeah. But now, like, this surely has inspired other scientists within that institute to be like... I want to go study that animal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're a biologist.
I was talking about me. I was like, nah, I got videos to make. But sure, I'll go.
Yeah. I mean, but how cool. Granted, I will also say they never went down to the ocean floor themselves. They were like sending a camera drone down.
Yeah.
They were not doing like Titan submersible style exploration. So that's it. That's what I got for you.
So cool.
Like I said, maybe this will inspire future scientists. We, however, are not scientists. We just play one on TV.
We just play one on YouTube.
Yeah. But please don't cite us. Don't quote us in your research. Just we're trying to get you excited so that maybe you will want to go
and do your own research.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if you're feeling generous, go ahead and leave us a review because that's going to help us reach more animal enthusiasts like you. And we would love to do that. We really just want to share our passion. We get really excited every week about doing this.
Yeah.
So anyway, that would do us a solid. You can find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod, and you can also visit our website, which is very infrequently updated, but that is thewateringholepod.com.
But it's updated enough that, like, you know, it's real.
It's useful.
It's got stuff there.
It's not a scam, and I do pay for the domain name every June.
Please.
Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.
Bye! I'm yawning.
Wow. Fuck that.